Hello, and welcome back to the Fleet Navigator podcast, your go-to GPS for all things fleet-related. I'm Matthew Walters, Head of Consultancy Services and Customer Value here at LeasePlan UK, or should I say Slough. And I'm delighted to be joined by my colleague Mark Evans, Head of Consultancy Services at ALD Automotive. Hey Mark, how you doing?
Yeah, really good, thanks Matt.
Excellent. Well, first of all, I suppose we should say Happy New Year to you all. It's Thursday the 11th of January as we record, but given this is our first opportunity to wish it, Happy New Year to you all. So, well, what are we doing today? Well, we're looking a little look back at 2023, but in the main, we're looking forward to 2024. So it's going to be a big couple of years in the fleet segment, particularly around EV. So 2023 was a big year for the two companies we work for, especially. Back in the spring, the merger of ALD and LeasePlan was confirmed. So we're all working really closely together now as two entities as we move forward into 2024 and as we start to look forward to becoming Avens. So it's the new year. We will be known as Avens from summer onwards. It's June for us in the UK, and 2024 promises to be another big year for fleet and motorists. So we just wanted to take a bit of time today to talk through what you might expect and what you should be looking out for in the year to come. Because, of course, a prepared business, a prepared fleet, really, is one that's best placed to deal with any challenges that might come its way. And there may well be some interesting ones for us this year. So let's look forward a bit. So I'm going to pass over to Mark now to give us the big picture. Over to you, Mark.
Thanks, Matt. So I guess it's fair to say that the past few years have been pretty challenging for organisations and people around the world, and for fleets too. I think due to the coronavirus pandemic, the Russian invasion of Ukraine, and even Brexit, economic growth's been really limited. Supply chains have broken down, and many goods, including new cars, have been harder to come by than usual. All of which, I guess, takes us into 2024, feeling like something in an in-between year. It's going to be less challenging, potentially, than the last couple of years, but it's too soon for all the challenges to have really abated.
Cool. I love the fact that in less than 2 minutes we were talking about Brexit. But we should probably move swiftly on because that spectre still haunts us. But we've got ZEV mandate, we've got the OZEV legislation, we've got loads to talk about, which is not impacted by Brexit, fortunately. So it's true, right? So many things are looking up for 2024. Inflation. So we should probably talk about that first. So inflation has already come down faster than the government expected, and certainly faster than the OBR were predicting. It's a much more palatable 4.6% at the moment as we record. The BOE, Bank of England, whose job it is to monitor inflation, reckons it will continue to decline throughout 2024 until it's back to the target level of 2% in 2025. As with oil prices, there's some good news on inflation too. Many observers expect that the price of oil, which of course feeds into the price of petrol and diesel, will remain fairly steady in 2024, albeit, you know, I think we've probably all got one eye on the Middle East and what's going on there. But Goldman Sachs forecasts that a barrel of Brexit crude will trade between the $70 and $90 mark for the year, given that same barrel would have been about $120 in 2022. That's some pretty good news, actually. And the supply chain for semiconductors, which are crucial for making vehicles, in particular EVs, and we've certainly talked about it many times on this podcast in the past, in terms of how that's impacting supply and certainly what LeasePlan, and I know my ALD colleagues, were doing with their customers around that. It isn't fully fixed, it's fair to say. We are still feeling it. But thanks in large part to the stockpiling efforts of manufacturers and the focus on electric vehicles, we're certainly through the worst of the vehicle delays and shortages of the past few years. In fact, actually, we're pretty confident that 2024 will see things, you know, smooth out from that degree in that regard. You know, we've picked up the skills to handle it, right, going forward. If we see this again, if we see a dip back again, we can see it coming, and we're regularly in touch with those manufacturers in terms of making those plans. Mark, what about other challenges outside of the vehicle side?
Yeah, I guess all that being said, there's still no room for complacency. There are still some challenges that we're going to have to face into. I think probably the first one to point out is the spectre of recession. I think the OBR realigned their figures for the back end of last year and suggested that we probably were slightly below negative growth. Depends what to see. The recession is obviously two quarters of negative growth. Depends how that flows through. But I think what we're definitely going to see is a pretty flat level of growth throughout the year. So there's still going to be some challenging times for many organisations. Prices are still high. And I won't say much more about inflation, but without trying to be gloomy, it's worth noting that price hikes are lessening. The Bank of England still says that it's going to take until 2025 until things get back to what we'd describe as normal. So costs are likely to remain challenging for people and businesses right through 2024. And in fact, probably one to highlight is insurance premiums. I guess we need to draw attention to this a little bit more, because that's one thing that keeps going up. The average car insurance premium rose by 19% to a record £924 in quarter three 2023. And that's something we've got to keep an eye on for a while. Actually, we're going to launch our own solution shortly, but that's probably a solution or a subject for another podcast. So all that's to say, 2024 already feels like something of an in-between year. Less challenging than the last few years, but too soon for everything to have abated.
Absolutely. Care to wager on when interest rates are going to come down, Mark?
that'd be a strong wager, but I think if you look at the Bank of England data and some of the expectations, not until mid later on this year before we start seeing that ease.
Yeah, so I think you're right, Mark, and I think we're in agreement again. I think we'll probably see interest rates stay high, probably 5.25% until the middle of the year. Maybe a 25 basis point reduction in Q3 rather than Q4. But I think from a BOE perspective, I think it's going to be steady as she goes. So, okay, so we've talked a little bit about some economics, and Mark and I have tried not to be too gloomy. But we really should look at the rise of electric vehicles and what else 2024 has got in store for EVs, because it's a pretty exciting year for models, for legislation. So again, we're going to have to answer this question a little bit by looking backwards to 2023. That was when the government, led by Rishi Sunak, pinned its colours to the mast. Instead of ending new sales for all conventional fossil fuel vans and cars in the UK in 2030, as Sunak's predecessor Boris Johnson had promised, the government now wants to push back the deadline by 5 years, and the ban will come into force in 2035. Now, at the time, and Mark and I were over in Amsterdam when the news broke, and BVRLA were in the middle of the conference, that seemed pretty big news, right? And when you've been preparing for 2030 for years, as many fleets have, it was a bit of a shock to hear that 2030 is no longer the deadline. But in other more significant respects, the change isn't that major at all. For starters, even 2035 isn't that far away, particularly for fleets signed up to contracts that last 3, 4, or 5 years, and everyone will have to start thinking about the future. And then the simple fact that there's still lots of good reasons to transition to EV today, plus the ZEV mandate, which we'll talk a little bit about in a bit, remains unchanged. The ZEV mandate always said that 80% of passenger cars would be EV or zero emission by 2030, and 20% would be the most efficient hybrids remaining. That hasn't changed. So in terms of pinning their colours to the mast, they've moved to 2035, bit of a headline grab, but the background legislation that's going to govern what is retailed in this country still remains the same. So, as we said, there's loads of good reasons to transition to EV. Lower tax bills, of course, reduced fuel costs or energy costs, less maintenance, and that's, of course, before we get back onto the emissions, or the lack of them in the case of EVs, and what that means for companies' ESG goals, which is something that I know is very close to my colleague's heart, and public sector sustainability targets, as well as for the environment. These benefits are not just theoretical. Thousands of individuals and organisations are now turning to EVs. In fact, plug-in vehicles now account for almost a quarter of the entire new car marketplace in the UK. There's over 400,000 were sold in 2023 alone. And what's more, manufacturers are committed to satisfying this demand for electric vehicles. Not only are they introducing more and more and more models of EV, obviously we mentioned it before, but they now face the ZEV mandate in the UK, meaning that legally they have to produce a certain proportion of zero emission vehicles or they will face fines, and they are not insignificant. ZEV mandate is already coming to force for 2024 at the beginning of January. And this year for 2024, it's 22% of new cars sold have to be zero emission. And that rises to 80% for cars and 70% vans for 2030. And as I say, that has not changed from the previous legislation on to 100% by 2035. Many manufacturers have said that they intend to get to 100% sooner. And of course, that's largely been driven by some of the Chinese marques coming and entering into the Europe and UK markets, who, of course, most of which are already 100% zero emission. And of course, we're not ignoring the fact that there's still challenges around EVs, particularly when it comes to choice and practicability of electric vans. But it's safe to say that the electric revolution is happening, right? Regardless of which date, 2030 or 2035, any politician picks. Mark, what about the rest of this year? something in the wings about a general election maybe later in the year.
Yeah, we've definitely talked about this a few times. I think, yeah, there's another reason not to pay too much attention to the 2035 announcement, and or at least to consider it as the fact that it's only an announcement. So it's pretty certain that this year we're going to see a general election. I guess in theory it could take place as late as January 2025, but the smart money's definitely on this year. And I think, in fact, recently to journalists, Sunak himself referred to 2024 as an election year. So this is probably not the podcast to make predictions about which party will win the election. But one thing we can fairly certainly say is that Keir Starmer's Labour Party are currently the runaway favourites, and they've already vowed to reinstate the original 2030 ban on fossil fuel sales. So it could all change again.
Absolutely. So there's been a lot of noise again around the press, and there certainly was before the November statement, as there was the new Chancellor first took his post, around fuel duty. And again, thinking about what they may do ahead of the general election. So all change, maybe, probably for the government. But before then, we do face the question of what the current government will do to retain votes in the election. Bearing in mind they had a $20 billion windfall in November, which saw the announcements on national insurance changes. The OBR have certainly said that that will not be available again. So what could they touch? What could they do? So many of the policies they'll announce in 2024 won't be targeted specifically at motorists, but some will. And one of them that's worth keeping an eye on is fuel duty. Main rate of fuel duty is at 52.95 pence a litre, and it's been like that for the past 12 years. Obviously, there was introduced a temporary 5p cut a couple of years ago, and that cut was meant to expire in March 23. And there are even fears that the main rate would rise in line with inflation at the same time, and that would have increased fuel duty by a record-breaking 12 pence a litre in March 2023. No surprise that the Chancellor, incoming with a party that's in trouble, avoided that rise and kept the freeze in place. 5p cut was retained until at least March this year, and there was no inflationary rise, which kind of brings us to now, really. And in the lull between Christmas and New Year, the Treasury announced that the Chancellor, Jeremy Hunt, will deliver the 2024 spring budget on the 6th of March, so it's early, and it will include the government's tax and spending plans, as well as the new growth and borrowing forecasts, in what is likely to be his final fiscal statement before the next general election. Will the PM and his Chancellor keep the 5p cut in place and also resist an inflationary rise? Or would they take the bold and possibly election-losing step of hiking fuel duty massively in an election year? Mark, there's another topic that, and we've certainly talked about it on this podcast before, around road user pricing. That feels like it's been kicked down the road a bit. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think, you know, what specifically talking about that subject, that there's a really, really big question around fuel duty and ultimately what will replace it. It's a massive, important part of the tax take. And as more people move towards EV, the revenue raised from taxing petrol and diesel is going to decline, and in theory, even drop to zero. So what does the government need to look at as an alternative in ultimately raising billions of pounds a year? For some time now, it's been speculated that this alternative could be some form of road pricing. So literally charging motorists for using particular stretches of roads, regardless of whether they're in a fossil fuel vehicle or an EV. And at the end of the autumn statement 2022, an advisor to the Transport Secretary even tweeted that a full consultation and review into the feasibility of road pricing was set to be announced. And yet that didn't materialise, and it hasn't materialised since. So is that something we're going to see in 2024? In truth, it's probably too big and risky a move for a government moving towards an election, but we figured it's probably worth mentioning and commenting on.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that would be a very, very bold move to even announce a consultation ahead of a general election, which Smart Money says will probably now be Q3. You know, we've got other legislation that we can look forward to. So, you know, some government is going to have to grapple with crucial questions. We talked about fuel duty. But there is something that we've been working on in the fleet sector behind the scenes with Revenue and Treasury since March last year, and that concerns capital allowances. So autumn statement 2023, Chancellor confirmed that the government is the government's full expensing policy, where companies are able to claim 100% capital allowances on qualifying expenditure on new plant and machinery. What does that actually mean? It's an acceleration of tax relief, in essence, to put it broadly. It simply means that you can claim 100% of the tax relief that's available for the purchasing of plant and machinery, and that includes commercial vehicles, which is why it's important and very close to our hearts. and it will effectively become a permanent part of the tax system. So welcome development doesn't include cars, but interestingly, it doesn't include leasing companies. So leasing companies have been ring-fenced and carved out of first-year allowances for some time, both on electric vehicles and vans. And we've been working really hard with the Treasury and Revenue as part of an industry group, along with the BVRLA, to look at that and to put forward the argument around the extension of capital allowances to leasing companies, which in essence could mean lower prices for you as fleets and customers when you're leasing your vehicles. So its part, Treasury said that a technical consultation would be published soon. We are expecting that before the end of the month. And we have also been told that Treasury will be presenting their proposals. What does that really mean? It means we're going to get something on capital allowances. Whether it's a workable solution, whether it's easy to implement and quick to implement, more importantly, remains to be seen. But Treasury and Revenue are going to present something to the sector, certainly in this quarter. Before we go, we should probably mention another item on the legislative agenda and very, very important, clearly, which is clean air zones. And you'll remember clean air zones are areas where special action is taken to reduce roadside pollution. Some, like London's ultra-low emission zone, impose charges on more polluting vehicles, but others rely more on non-charging measures, such as improved cycling routes and EV trials. Over the past few years, we've seen clean air zones introduced in cities such as Bath, and as mentioned before, in my hometown, and ALD's HQ, funnily enough, in Bristol. And that's been met with some resistance, it should be said, by the Bristol population. But if you get to the end of the M32 now and you haven't noticed it, you will enter into a clean air zone. Mark, there's probably more to come in 2024 as well, isn't there?
Yeah, I think you're right, mate. I think 2024 is going to be interesting. We kind of saw a little bit of a pause or hiatus with clean air zones, certainly through lockdown and the impact that had on sort of reducing localised and urban emissions. But certainly Scotland's take on the clean air zone, known as the low emission zone, will come into force in, I think, Dundee, Aberdeen and Edinburgh this year. And a little bit closer to home for me, there's the possibility that we'll get some clarity over Greater Manchester's plans after they put their clean air zone on hold and under review a couple of years ago. I guess the point is, of course, that clean air zones aren't going away, which brings us back to our observations about EVs earlier. Generally, the future of motoring is going to be cleaner, greener and plugged in.
Absolutely. I love the fact that Manchester is a little bit more local to you. Isn't Manchester about halfway between where you live and the Bristol office?
not quite halfway, but it's still a bit down the road.
So let's wrap up. So that's 2024. That's the year to come. We can't anticipate everything that will happen in the future, of course. If we could do that, then Mark and I would both be lottery winners by now. But we hope that in our podcast, we've at least anticipated some of the most important things for you. But besides whatever happens, we, ALD Automotive, LeasePlan, ALD LeasePlan, LeasePlan ALD, soon to be Avens, excitingly, we're here to help you.
Yeah, so please don't hesitate to get in touch if you have any questions, whatever the future may hold. And in the meantime, from me and from Matt, thank you very much for listening.
Thank you, everyone.